In the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Ever hear this fable? Once upon a time, there was a certain kingdom whose grain harvest was infected with a fungus. Whoever ate the infected grain would go insane. The matter was brought to the king. The king said, "Unless we eat the grain, we will all starve to death. But if we eat the grain, we will all go insane. Therefore, we will eat the grain so that we may live, even though we'll be insane. However, we will also designate a few people who will not eat the infected grain so that some people will know the rest of us are insane." The people who remained sane and remembered that everyone else was insane could be called a remnant. When I hear the word remnant, I immediately think of carpet. When there's a little bit of carpet left on a roll, it's sold as a remnant. It's not big enough to carpet a whole house, but it's big enough maybe to do a room or another space. You ever bought a remnant like that? Remnants have quality and value and purpose. In our first lesson today, Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 7, we hear about the remnant of Israel. What does that refer to? Jeremiah lived in a time when the Israelites had been defeated by the Babylonians. The Babylonians took some of the Israelites, especially people with skills, people like craftsmen, back to Babylon to work for them, to be their slaves. This was called the Babylonian exile. Some Jews were also left behind in Israel. There was great pressure on the Israelites living in Babylon to give up their faith and their way of life and assimilate into the Babylonian culture and religion. That would be a way to survive and prosper. Why live as an outcast when you can be part of the in crowd? When in Babylon, do as the Babylonians do, right? It was also tempting for the Israelites who remained in Israel to give up their faith too. After all, their country had been devastated. What has God done for me lately? Why should I keep believing in him when he failed us? Of course, the Babylonian exile was the consequence of Israel turning its back on God, but few people ever see their own sin and their situations being the result of their failures. No one blames themselves. We blame others, and we blame God. God showed Jeremiah that despite the Jews' bad situation, and despite the fact that so many people had abandoned their faith, there was still a small group of people who had stayed faithful to God. There was a group who believed in his word and preserved the sacred teachings and traditions. Those who remained steadfast in the face of despair were the remnant of Israel. God had a purpose for the remnant of Israel. They would ensure that the worship of Almighty God would continue. They would see to it that the faith would keep on being taught. In every generation, in every crisis, God preserves a small group, sometimes hidden and unseen, an often harassed and persecuted remnant who maintain the true faith and pass it on. For instance, have you ever read the book or seen the TV miniseries Shogun by James Clavell? Or the book and movie The Silence by Shizaka Endo? Both are set in Japan in the late 1500s. At that time, missionaries were converting many of the Japanese to Christian faith. However, the government, the shoguns, decided Christianity was not good for Japan. They outlawed Christianity, and Christians were tortured until they renounced their faith or until they became martyrs. It appeared that Christianity had been eradicated from Japan. About three centuries later, though, when Japan was open once again to missionary activity, it was discovered that there had been an underground church operating there all that time. Small groups of Christians, a remnant, met secretly in each other's homes. They passed on the faith generation to generation without any Bibles and with very few symbols that they could use. They could have been killed for doing that, but they courageously preached, taught, and celebrated the sacraments anyway. Something similar happened in Red China. The Maoist communists tried to wipe out Christianity during their Cultural Revolution. Currently, there are a few churches allowed to exist in China, but they're heavily regulated by the government. They're really not Christian churches at all, but functionaries of the state promoting communism. Yet there is a huge network of Christians worshiping and teaching covertly, a remnant aided by international evangelical organizations. There are similar situations throughout the Middle East in Muslim countries where remnant communities of Christians still gather to praise Christ despite the grave danger. To be marked a follower of the Nazarene can be a death sentence. Next Sunday, as we said, is Reformation Day. We might consider the movement started by Martin Luther and the other reformers to be the actions of a remnant Christian community in their time, speaking the truth to power. The Lutheran Reformation did not intend to add or subtract anything from the Christian faith. They did not want to tear down the church and build it back up again, as later Reformed groups would do. They just wanted the church to return to the true proclamation of the word and administration of the sacraments that had been lost, but which they rediscovered in the scriptural faith given to the saints once and for all. Scripture teaches us that the one holy Christian church will endure forever. The gates of hell will not prevail against us. That does not mean, though, that some churches will not close their doors. Many already have. That does not mean that some denominations will not dwindle into oblivion. Many are and will. But it does mean that some churches will always be true to the gospel of Jesus Christ despite the opposition and will survive as remnant communities, islands of truth in a sea of apostasy and atheism, boldly clinging to the faith and daring to share it in a hostile environment. What do you make of the world today? Does it ever seem to you that maybe everyone has eaten the infected grain and gone insane? Does the world look more and more like an Orwellian dystopian nightmare? What happened to the Christian values on which we used to rely? It's easy for us to abandon our faith and assimilate into the prevailing culture like some of the Jews in Babylon did. Wouldn't it be easier just to go along, to get along? Or we might abandon our faith because we're feeling like God has forsaken us, as some of the Jews left in Israel did. Ever feel like just giving up? We all do sometimes. Many people have described the current situation in the world as one of lawlessness, like the time of the judges in the Old Testament when everyone did just whatever seemed right to him. Even in many churches, the word of God has lost out to public opinion. Morality is decided not by scripture, but by a majority vote, and that vote usually says, anything goes. Does anyone seriously think that for 2,000 years we misunderstood Jesus' commands and expectations for us, And now suddenly we know Christ better and can disregard what the church has always believed and taught? No way. There are issues and concerns in the secular world that impinge upon us as well. Many people feel like our freedoms of speech and religion are being whittled away. Our faith is meant to be proclaimed and shared, and any restrictions on proclaiming it and sharing it is a violation of our rights. Banning Christian expression does not create a neutral environment. It creates an anti-Christian, atheistic environment. We Christians live in the world, but we are not of the world. The world's values are not our values. We don't think or live like the world does because heaven is our home, not this planet. Christians are different. The world may see us as odd, and that's okay. The world doesn't understand us. Ultimately, it is only God's opinion of us that matters. He cares for us and will save us out of this troubled world. We have God's promise that he will not abandon us. He will always be with us. There will always be a remnant of the true Christian faith, a remnant of the true apostolic church witnessing to Christ. There will always be a remnant to keep the faith going, to preach the word properly and administer the sacraments rightly. Survival in a hostile world won't be easy. God doesn't promise us ease. It won't be pretty either. God doesn't promise that. But God's grace working through us, the church that Christ died for, will survive and one day thrive again. In the end, God triumphs. God wins. The big question for us then is, will we be part of it? Do we have the strength and the faith to hold on? Can we be God's remnant here and now? My prayer for this congregation and the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and for all churches of Christ, that God will allow us to be his remnant communities of faith. We pray that God will keep us steadfast in his word. We pray that we may be of value to him and even useful, as imperfect as we are. God preserve the remnant of his people in Bible times. He preserves the church today in countries that persecute it. He preserved it when it got lost in the medieval times. May God preserve the true church in us, the remnant that we are, to his greater honor and glory. Lord, let this remnant cover the whole world with your praise. Amen.